So we are continuing in our series of the great Protestant Reformation truths known as the Sola Five. Sola Scriptura, Sola Gratia, Sola Fide, Solus Christus, Soli Deo Gloria. And these five solas lie at the heart of it, what it means to be a Bible-based and gospel-centered Christian and church. Yet many in the evangelical world today have never even heard of these. They've never been taught to hold these precious biblical truths close to their hearts. This very rich spiritual heritage that has been handed down to us, and for which faithful Christians throughout the ages have suffered. Some have died for. The five solas emerged during the 16th century Protestant Reformation as a concise summary of the Reformation's recovery of the biblical gospel. For about 1,000 years through the Middle Ages, which stretches from about 500 years after Christ to about 1,500 years after Christ, the gospel had become obscured by unbiblical doctrines and practices. The reformers weren't trying to invent a new religion or to come up with novel doctrines. They sought to reform the church, calling her back to the authority of the scriptures and to the apostolic gospel of Jesus Christ. The five solas beautifully summarizes this recovery. Sola Scriptura, Sola Gratia, Sola Fide, Solus Christus, and Soli Deo Gloria. And behind these five solas, we have the critical question: how can a sinner be made right with God? We could simplify it: how could anyone at all be saved? The reformers understood that the answer cannot come from human opinion, not even church tradition or religious experience. It must come from God Himself. Therefore, we must begin with Sola Scriptura. The scriptures alone are our final authority and our ultimate answer. The remaining four solas unpack this answer step by step. Sola Gratia teaches that salvation originates entirely from God's sovereign and undeserved grace, and not in anything that we could ever do. Sola Fide teaches that this gracious salvation is received by faith alone, apart from our works or our merits. Solus Christus teaches that Christ alone, through His perfect life, atoning death, and victorious resurrection, is the one and only Savior and Mediator between God and mankind. And Soli Deo Gloria teaches that because salvation is God's work from beginning to end, all praise, honor, and glory belong to Him alone. Together, these five solas form one glorious confession of the gospel. Scripture alone reveals the way of salvation. God's grace alone is its source, and listen to this, its cause. Faith alone is the means by which we receive it. Christ alone is its grounds and the object of our faith. God alone receives the glory. Over the past 3 weeks, we've considered sola scriptura, sola gratia, and sola fide. But those truths naturally lead to this question: what is the object of our faith? In other words, what do we actually trust? Who is the one through whom God's gracious salvation is accomplished and received? Whom must we solely trust for this salvation? It brings us to the fourth great truth of the Reformation: Christ alone. God willing, next week we'll consider the last one, to the glory of God alone, which will take us to the high point. Tonight, we are at the heart of the Reformation teaching of the five solas: Christ alone. For apart from Christ, there is no salvation. There's no forgiveness, no hope of right standing before a holy God. Christ alone saves. On the surface, all professing Christians would agree that God saves people through His Son, Jesus Christ, but not all would agree that because of who He is and what He has done, Christ alone is the one who can come between us and God the Father to redeem us, to reconcile us to the Father, and to preserve a vital relationship with the Father. Over time, the medieval church drifted away from the biblical teaching. It began to teach that Christ's saving work come to people through the ministry of the church or sacraments rather than Christ alone. In contrast, the reformers insisted that Christ's work is completely sufficient. Nothing can be added to what He has done. They believed that whenever people added priests, sacraments, or human efforts as necessary for salvation, they took away from Christ's glory and they robbed the believer of the assurance of salvation. The challenge today is different from what the reformers faced. They defended the truth that Christ alone is the one mediator, that through His work He has done enough for our salvation. Today, we have to defend that Jesus is Savior at all, because many different gospels are presented to people. But our confession has remained unchanged. Christ alone is the one and only all-sufficient Savior. The doctrine of Christ alone, or solus Christus, insists that Christ's identity and His all-sufficiency is what saves us. And these will be our two main points: Christ's exclusive identity and His sufficiency of His work. So the exclusivity of Christ begins with who He is. The Bible presents Jesus not merely as a miracle worker, a great teacher, or even a religious example, but as the eternal Son of God who became human without ever ceasing to be God. Listen to John chapter 1 verse 1 and 1 verse 14. In the beginning was the Word, that is Jesus Christ. And the Word was God, and the Word was with God. In verse 14, and the Word became flesh, that is, He became human, and dwelt among us, says the apostles. And we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is God's unique Son. He has always been God and with God the Father. About 2,000 years, something happened to him. He became a man without ceasing to be God. And the apostles saw how he radiated God's glory. He was full of God's covenant character of love and truth, which sums up God's character. Listen to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. And he, Christ, is the radiance of God's glory, the exact imprint of his nature, upholding the universe by the word of his power, and making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Jesus doesn't simply reflect God's glorious character. He shares his very nature. Therefore, he is the perfect expression of who God is. He who sustains the entire universe became a man in his own universe to bring purification for sin through his once-for-all sacrifice. He is now seated at the right hand of the Father as the exalted and sovereign Lord. Therefore, Christ alone is qualified to reveal the invisible God and to accomplish his saving work. He alone can save. The uniqueness of Christ begins with his nature. He is God incarnate. That is precisely why he alone can stand between us and God. Between a holy God and a sinful humanity to bring us together, removing hostility, restoring peace and harmony between us and God. Notice that Christ is not just a mediator. He is the mediator. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 5 says, "For there is one God and there is one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus." How many gods are there? One. How many mediators are there? One. The God-man. No one else is able, qualified, or appointed to bring sinners to God. Once God the Father determined to redeem sinners and reconcile him with himself, the incarnation, the perfect obedience, the atoning death, the resurrection of the Son became absolutely essential. And only one who is fully God and fully man could accomplish that. There is one Savior because there can be no other Savior. Earlier in our service, we read Acts chapter 4, where the Apostle Peter stood before the Jewish High Council, the Sanhedrin. And after being arrested for healing a lame man in the name of Jesus, Peter stood up, filled with the Holy Spirit, and he said, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name except Jesus Christ, under heaven, given among men, by which we must be saved. This is the confession of Solus Christus." There is no other Savior because there is no other person like Jesus. The person and work of Jesus Christ belong together. If he were who the apostle said he was, then only he could do what the apostle said he can do. But because he is exactly who they proclaimed him to be, the eternal Son of God become man, he is the one and only mediator and Savior. Now, having considered this first pillar of solus Christus, the exclusive identity of Christ, we're going to turn our attention now to the all-sufficiency of his work. And these two belong inseparably together. What Christ has accomplished depends entirely on who he is. Because he is the unique God-man, his saving work is perfect, complete, and fully effective. The sufficiency of Christ is expressed in his threefold office: prophet, priest, and king. As our final prophet, he reveals God and speaks his final word to us. As our great and final high priest, he fully reconciles us to God by making purification for our sins and continually interceding for us. And as the exalted king, he rules over everything for his people. And he protects them by his sovereign power. In Christ, these three offices come together perfectly and permanently. He reveals God to us. He reconciles us to God. And he rules us for God. No one else can fulfill any one of these offices, let alone all of them together. But Jesus has, and he is accomplishing everything completely. Indeed, he has, and nothing needs to be added to what he has done. And this is exactly the salvation we need. The prophet, Christ, who delivers us from our ignorance. As priest, he delivers us from our sin and guilt. And as our king, he delivers us from our enemy and our self-rule. Every aspect of his ministry covers every aspect of the saving we need. He is the complete and the comprehensive Savior. And at the heart of his saving work is his substitutionary death on the cross. Isaiah sums it up so well. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4 to 6, we read, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Do you hear the language of substitution? He bore, he carried, he was pierced, he was crushed, he was chastised, he was wounded. Why? For our griefs, our sorrows, our transgressions, our iniquities, and our wandering, Christ took our place. He bore the judgment we deserved so that we might receive what? His peace and the healing that only he can give. And having borne the full judgment, Christ cried out on the cross, what? "It is finished." Those words were not a cry of defeat, but a declaration of triumph. Christ lived the perfect life we could never live, borne the judgment we deserve, and offered himself as the once-for-all sacrifice that God required. Prophecy has been fulfilled. The debt has been paid in full. The mission has been accomplished. Redemption has been secured. The work is finished. And nothing can be added. Christ's saving work, therefore, isn't partial. It's complete. Isn't merely sufficient in theory. It's actually accomplished in history. It's not awaiting our contribution, but our resting entirely on it. We do not complete Christ's work. We receive it. We don't improve Christ's work. We trust it. We don't add to Christ's work. We rest in it. And that is why Solus Christus stands at the heart of the five solas. He is the one to whom all of them point. Scripture reveals him. Grace is given through him. Faith receives him. And because salvation is accomplished entirely by him, God receives all the glory. Remove Christ, and the whole gospel collapses. Grace has no gift to give. Faith has no savior to receive. Scripture has no good news. And God receives no glory for salvation because it hasn't been accomplished. But because Christ alone has accomplished our salvation completely, grace can be freely given. Faith can confidently receive it. And God alone can receive all the glory. The doctrine of Solus Christus wasn't only vital in the 16th century Reformation, it remains vital in every generation. For every age attacks Christ in two directions. Some seek to add to him, claiming that salvation requires Christ plus human effort, religious rituals, good works, or some or other form of mediation between us and God. Others seek to take away from Christ, denying either who he is or what he has accomplished, diminishing either his deity or his humanity, rejecting his exclusive claims, or implying that his redemptive work is somehow incomplete or insufficient. Every generation, therefore, must hold fast the confession of Christ alone. Why does it matter so much? Let me give us five reasons. Firstly, Christ alone guards the gospel. The scriptures declare there is no other name by which we must be saved. Jesus himself said, "I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And to deny Christ's exclusive saving work is to lose the gospel. And therefore we must proclaim Christ without apology, without compromise, and without qualification. Secondly, Christ alone gives believers assurance. Because Christ's work is complete, perfect, all-sufficient, our acceptance before God does not rest on our performance, but on his finished work. We do not earn God's favor. We receive it by faith in Christ. And that produces a humility and a gratitude and a confidence and a joyful obedience. Thirdly, Solus Christus keeps Christ central in Christianity. The New Testament constantly describes believers as in Christ. and teaches that Christ is all and in all. He is the vine. We are the branches. Apart from him, we can do nothing. You remove Christ from the center, and Christianity becomes degenerated into moralism, self-improvement, or self-righteous religion. True Christianity begins, continues, and ends with Christ. Fourthly, Solus Christus shapes the whole Christian life. Christ is not only our Savior, but our Lord. We belong to Him. We are bought with a price, and therefore everything we think, say, and do must be done in His name and for His glory. As we walk by His Spirit and live under His gracious rule. Finally, Christ alone compels the mission of the church. In an increasingly pluralistic world, the claim that Christ is the only Savior is often considered intolerant and offensive. Yet the church proclaims Christ not out of arrogance, but out of a love and an understanding that compels us, because only He can reconcile a sinner to God. And since He alone saves, we must proclaim Him with the same clarity, conviction, and urgency, and the joy of the apostles that we also see in the reformers that they recovered, suffered for. For Christians today, Solus Christus is far more than a Reformation slogan. It is the church's confession that Christ, the eternal Son of God incarnate, is the only mediator between God and man, the believer's complete Savior, and the world's one and only Redeemer. And this is why this doctrine is of first importance. It is what we call a salvation issue. Our eternal destiny depends upon Christ of the Bible that we believe in, because He alone is the God-man, the one who brings a complete and perfect salvation. We must trust Him with all that we have. And in that is forgiveness, righteousness, reconciliation, and an eternal life that is completely secure and that we cannot lose, because He holds on to us. As we close, may I ask you one question? Are you a Solus Christus person? And by that I mean, is Christ alone your hope before God? Do you believe that He alone is the eternal Son of God become man, your mediator and Savior? Do you believe that He is the ultimate prophet, priest, and king who has given His life for you as a substitute, rose victorious from the grave, and what He's done is completely sufficient for your salvation? There is nothing that you have to add to it. It's not partly Christ and partly yourself. Nor is it Christ plus your good works. Nor is it Christ plus your religious performance. Nor is it Christ plus your church. All these things are important, but they are not saving us. Christ alone saves. And if your say yes, you have every reason for assurance and acceptance before God and a future that is glorious. So again, are you a Christ alone person? May every one of us be able to answer with a humble confidence and a grateful joy, yes, Christ alone is my Savior, my righteousness, my mediator, my Lord, my one and only hope before God. Amen.